The reason I like this is actually because this is only about five or six minutes. for my very first contribution to any free software project. That one was closed, but it was interesting for me to see that David was studying his work in PhD, and at the same time I was doing my work in free software in general. And so the other thing, along with this idea of kind of David and his fun and still having people in mind, I also, all of you individually, want you to keep in mind your equivalent of this. And how you felt the day that you made your first contribution. The day I made mine, it was 5 or 6 months after this, the sort of mentor I had in the Chrome project, he basically came to me and said, how did it feel to change the world? That commit you just made, in the next release, thousands of people are going to be using those 3 lines of Python you just wrote. But the people are using it, right? So I'd like you to also think in the back of your mind as I go on about how you felt the first time you generated an SVN all the request. Because when I get to the end, when I get to the end of this talk, I really want you to remember that feeling. So, what does Daddy Paul look like? It's a film reference study. If you've not seen Pulp Fiction, okay, what is Daddy Paul look like? Okay, so for any of you who have ever seen the kind of visualizations I have done of free software projects in the past, you will know, of course, that just like everyone else, Daddy Paul looks like this. Daddy Paul, just like everyone else in free software, is a user. This is important, it's going to keep coming up. Daddy Paul, of course, is a free software contributor. You can recognize him because the blue circles are like default. He works for somebody else, who also happens to be a blue circle. To say continue later on, no one at the end of the blue circle. But for the sake of going forward, understand that David works with another blue circle, who works with another blue circle, who works with another blue circle, who works with another blue circle. And here we have some kind of nice little mesh of three software contributors who are working together. What do I mean when I say they're working together? So, in the kind of stuff I've done in the past, and the kind of stuff I'm talking now, for the context of this talk, I have one definition of working together that you might not like, but this is what it is for the purposes of this talk. If two contributors to the project edited the same resource in the time period being analyzed, they work together. For the purposes of this talk, the time period is almost always going to be a week as well. So if two people work together in a week, if two people edit the same piece of code, like they edit the same actual resource, so a file, they work on the same file, they get linked together. If they both edit a piece of artwork, so any artifact in the repository, if they both affect a change on that, then they get linked. And by the way, because I'm passing the entire log, I'm not stripping out things like additions. For example, the person who actually adds the resource and somebody who later edits, they also get a line between them. So this is even, you can draw little pictures like this, and this is nice, this is convenient, it looks kind of nice, but of course the reality of a free software project is a little bit different, because what you actually end up with some Do you have any other gifts for this one?
Looks like it's heaven.
Okay, let's move on. So, okay, so, a show of hands. Who has heard of Brooks' Law? Okay, those of you who have heard of Brooks' Law, so put your hands up if you've heard of Brooks' Law. Right, so those of you who have heard of Brooks' Law, take your hand down if you don't consider yourself a software engineer. Kevin Ottens, you don't know why. Okay, so basically people who consider themselves software engineers understand Brooks' Law. Who are the people who consider themselves software engineers but haven't heard of Brooks' Law? Those people put their hand up. Cool. Time to start reading a book or two. Brooks' Law was something that came out of the 70s. Fred Brooks wrote it. He basically wrote the first book on software engineering project management. He wrote a thing at the time which only much later on got called like the Law after his name. But basically what Brooks' Law stated, I'm going to paraphrase a little bit, but basically what he said was, as you add more people to a software engineering effort, you're going to make that software engineering effort slow. For a couple of reasons, and again, we were talking about it at the time, but later on we realized this is about communication overhead, and the other big factor is when you add someone new to a project, they have to learn the tools, they have to learn the domain, right? So there's like a ramp-up time. So this is one of the laws I'm probably looking at for the next few minutes. Conway's Law is my favorite one, because no one's ever heard of it. Who's heard of Conway's Law? Who's only heard of Conway's Law because they heard me give a talk like this before? Okay, so Conway's Law, now this one actually predates Brooks' Law. And actually it comes from a journal that's so hard to find a copy of these days. That is one of these things where again, like, I mean, I found out about it because I studied software engineering. But it's, believe it or not, but it's one of these things where somehow it doesn't hit people's radar for this. So what Melvin Conway said is that groups of people designing and implementing systems are basically forced to design and implement systems that match the communication patterns of the team designing and building the system. Are you all still building? Do I need to say that again slower? Cool. All right. However, I get at with this talk is how do these two laws interact in the context of KDE and why do we need to pay attention to it? So in order to pay attention to these two laws, I'm basically only looking at commits and commit metadata. I'm not necessarily looking back into the artifacts and seeing what was changed or how they were changed. Just the fact that something was changed and who did that and when is what I'm particularly interested in for reasons I don't know yet. You may or may not realize this, but you all somehow contribute to KDE. And when you do that, you leave evidence behind so that project managers or archaeologists or whatever you want to call them, people like me, we can come and see that. Right? It seems very matter of fact, but when I first started doing this work back in 2006, 2007, a lot of people were really surprised. is also, I always show this picture for like the kind of the dangers of mining repositories. There's an inherent danger here. And we'll call this the script keeping problem. If you look at these projects, and so if you feel tempted to compare projects side by side, or even individuals side by side, you might look at this and look at the top there and go, yeah, script keeping. Pretty cool, yeah. A lot of work going on there, and look down and you're like, I'm a monster for that. Doesn't do anything. Works for paper, right? So, you know, what do you expect? Scriptity, right? You may be tempted to think Scriptity is this cool engineer doing lots of work, very engaged, and Frank Osterfeld is somehow very disengaged or whatever. Scriptity is not a human being, right? Scriptity is a script, is a script, right? And so it's one of the dangers when analyzing this kind of data is really understanding, like, you know, you have to understand your community before you can do the management on it. And that's the inherent risk of doing stuff like the stuff that I do. So anyhow, why bother looking at commits? For a few simple reasons, although it is dangerous to look at projects side by side without really understanding those projects, there are a few benefits, like even within KDE, it's kind of dangerous to compare KDE PIM with frameworks, for example, right? But if you understand the communities, you understand projects, then sometimes it's legit. The reason for doing it is there's always commits. It doesn't matter what project you're in. There's going to be some version control system you can get the data out and you will find commits. If you look at other kind of metrics for productivity or whatever inside a community, you also end up with trouble. So for example, a commit's a great because it doesn't matter what the artifact is. A commit is commit no matter whether there's a piece of artwork or a sound or something like that. Whereas for example, if your productivity measure is churn, of course churn does not apply to an image. Churn does not apply to sound. So, you know, when we think about software engineering metrics, historically they've all been sort of kind of code focused, or maybe they have been somehow like, you know, process focused. Just looking at commits and when they are happening and who's doing them gives you this whole wealth of possibility to look at your community and how well your community is functioning. So this one we did. This one I also love. I colored in this one blue by happenstance this afternoon because I actually went back to, dude, this is marble. At some point, you contributed to marble. And I only noticed this afternoon, I was like, oh, wow, shit, I just put that blue. So this is marble, this was a week of marble. Oh, so this was actually a month of marble, but I had to use extra data to give you an idea of the structure. So here's what I did to evaluate the score. Mathematically, I didn't actually visualize because it was too perfect, right? Mathematically, models, the KDE project like this. I took data a week at a time over the entire history of the project and drew mathematically, I modeled the who worked with who. And then what you can do is, once you have this kind of mess of contributions, this kind of network of stuff going on, there's something you can do. So mathematically, when we talk about graph theory, and we won't go into too much detail, but every graph has cohesion. Cohesion is the measurement of how dense the thing is, how closely everyone is working together. And cohesion is very simple. It's the average weight of all the shortest paths. Pick any two people, find the shortest path between them, do that for all people in the graph, and then average it out. As simple as that. So the higher that number, the more cohesive the project is. Does everyone get that? I don't really want to you all understand that, right? So high number, more cohesive, low number, less cohesive. Everyone with me? Okay, so let's now take a look at this in the context of Brooks' Law. So, first of all, the project that is, so I'm deliberately not talking about KDE at the moment, let's talk about Plot, the project I first contributed to. And this shows exactly what we'd expect in the context of Brooks' Law. Along the bottom, we have the number, so for each of these data points is a 230 contributors. And something incredible happened. We got better at working together, not worse. And this is where Conway's work came in. We got better at working together because we were restructuring the way we were working and paying attention to the way we were working. If this was an hour long talk, I would go into a bit more detail. But the thing I want to really impress upon you is the fact that this happened. We totally rewrote the rules as a community. We said it is possible to grow and grow huge and manage your growth. And at the time, it was actually organic. I'm going to come back to time in a moment. I'm finally going to say another thing about me. For those of you that know me, my name is Paul Adams. I am a form of community manager. I'm not of the social media manipulator variety. Although I like happy people, I'm not really sure going out to try and make people happy. I'm monitoring what people are doing and trying to see the effects of that. I'm making sure that we are productive and seeing if we can make changes to make people productive. In that respect, my approach to community management is more like what you'd expect in a corporate environment, just apply to communities. And I try to be as, you know, non-intrusive as I possibly can be. At this point, I would have normally gone on to do something different, but for a moment, very briefly, I want to change the tone of the talk. If I go back to this data briefly, you'll notice, right, so the x-axis is developer count. It's not time. It's time. All the magic started happening in 2004 and kind of continued up until early 2008. This is KDE 3.5, dot whatever. This is development work for KDE 4.0. Magic happened during that period. And then magic stops. And it goes down. And I'm computing it at the moment because as the number of people in the week goes up, the time it takes to compute this number goes through the roof. I'm computing the next set of data now, but trust me, the number's still going down. Our ability to work together is getting worse and worse. So, for those of you who have too short a memory, if you look at this timeline, January 2008 was the point KDE 4.0 was released. Doesn't look quite so much fun anymore. And it starts to look worse when you see the new data. What for a moment? For those of you in the EV, if you remember Martin's presentation of the financials and how much money the EV is making, it's always bad to look at two somewhat related data sets and imply causality. But if you remember Martin's income graph, you'll notice it actually follows that shape. How much money the EV was making follows this shape, but offset by about a year. The income happened about a year after. Something we might want to keep in mind when we look at things like this. I'm not suggesting there is causality, but there's something we might want to consider actually investigating that. Okay, buzzkill moment. Buzzkill moment, but it's not that important. So here's what I did. I think with the community we kind of lost focus a little bit. Here's some things that tangibly happened. This is, by the way, my I told you so moment. We switched from one repo in the form of SVN to Git. Technologically, this is an excellent choice. We should have done it at the time. We did it. We did it at the right time. But then after we made the switch to a better tool, we then did not manage our own use of that tool. We split one repository in the form of SVN into something roughly like 300 Git repositories at the moment. We siloed ourselves. We deliberately took have lost our focus on something integrated and therefore became disintegrated ourselves. Whether or not you see this as a bad thing or not is not for me to determine. But as a project manager, this is something I can find evidence for and say this happened. Whether you can sleep with that or knowing that or not is up to you. So, yes, I will suggest. Everyone should be a bit more like Daddy Paul than anyone. Doesn't matter what the tone is, doesn't matter what the level of cohesion is. Ultimately, I think Daddy has it right. If you're here to contribute to free software, have fun doing it. Because if you have fun doing it, you will encourage other people to work better around you. You will make them better software engineers. Make it a fun educational experience, because ultimately that is what it should be. And again, something Davy does. In his work life, Davy's not, he's like the most senior engineering trainer, but he's not afraid to ask questions. He's not afraid to say, hey, I'm not sure what's going on here. And we should all be the same. We should all thirst to be better software engineers. And then finally, and this does go back to the tone issue, I think at the very least, even if we do decide that the collection of projects, images is the one we have to portray, we can do that but still work together well. We can still use gifts better. We can still improve.